The closest thing to the baptism of Jesus that I've been a part of was the very first baptism I ever officiated. It was exquisite and it was awful, all at the same time. It happened in the middle of the night in the neonatal intensive care unit in a hospital in Brooklyn, New York, when I was working as a chaplain. The NICU, as the neonatal intensive care unit is known, was one of the most palpably holy places in the whole hospital, and perhaps in all of Brooklyn, New York. Imagine a big room filled with rows of babies in incubators, some tiny enough to fit in the palm of an adult's hand. Each of those tiny but fiercely alive beings is cared for 24/7 by a team of people, a rotating cast of parents and caregivers, nurses and doctors, surgeons and specialists. Everyone's hearts are broken open. Everyone's whole existence is dedicated to the purpose of raising and sustaining new life. And everyone is acting out of a profound love for the sake of these most vulnerable beings around them. Perhaps because of that, it was both my favorite place as a chaplain and my most dreaded call. Most babies survive. Most babies go on to thrive, and pictures of them years and years later from Christmas cards sent by their families decorate the walls. Science is a miracle. I would steal glances and moments of awe walking by those babies. The ones I was called to minister to in the middle of the night were not those babies. They were not those families. It was around midnight when the nurse called for the first time to give me a heads up. There was a baby who was struggling, and they weren't sure what the night was going to hold for that family. So I went over to meet them. I got there before the family arrived and found him surrounded by his medical team. The doctor showed me the vitals of the baby on the monitor. He was rambling about them in ways I didn't understand at all, except I knew somehow he was speaking in his language of grief. They weren't good. Then the parents arrived. There were too many tubes, and there was too much precariousness for them to hold the baby at that moment. But the mom reached into the incubator and put her hand on him. Within minutes, his vitals strengthened. They weren't stable, but they were stronger, while that tiny baby felt his mom. The doctor and I gave them some space. And then that doctor leaned over to me and whispered, "This happens all the time. They get stronger when they can feel their parents' love. You are my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased," said God. And said that mom with her simple touch. The parents were going to stay through the night, and I told them I would be there all night also, holding vigil as they needed me. A few hours later, my pager went off again. The nurse said the parents wanted a baptism. Things had taken a turn for the worst. This time when I arrived, the baby was in his mother's arms and most of the tubes were gone. Every moment of holding was precious and medicine for everyone. I found some water and a paper cup, and I asked the father if he would do the honor. Like John the Baptist, he hesitated at first, but then agreed. I fed him simplified words of the sacrament of baptism, and he repeated them. "I baptize you in the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. You are God's child, beloved, He blessed his baby with infinitely tender and big hands, with water made holy by his love, and with tears that flowed from his face. Not long enough after, that sweet soul passed into eternity, into the infinitely tender embrace of God. Our scripture story today of Jesus' baptism from Matthew is a retelling and reminder that baptism is a kind of beginning of the world all over again. In the story of Genesis, the Spirit is said to hover over the waters, and then God speaks and creation begins. When Jesus is baptized, the Spirit also descends over the waters, and God also speaks, and a new era of creation begins, the era of Jesus' ministry. As unique as Jesus was, he was equally as human as we are, which means that each time we baptize a fellow human, the Spirit descends. God speaks, and creation begins again in them. You are my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. A new world is born each time, no matter if that beloved child of God lives just a few more hours or a few more years, like Jesus after his baptism. In our tradition, baptism is not hell prevention. Baptism is a formal welcoming into community and family. It's a ritual of naming and claiming God's love, a reminder that our whole purpose in life is to be God's beloveds. That's why I baptized that sweet soul in the NICU. To help that family claim their love for their son, their beloved, in whom they were well pleased despite their shattered hearts. And to help them remember that even in his too short life, he was and forever will be God's beloved. Now, I promise, I'm not telling you this story to depress you. I have a toddler, I'm pregnant. Makes me weepy. I'm telling you this story because it's the kind of parable, a kind of modern parable of its own. We come into the world already beloved, without having to do or achieve anything. We come into this world as beloved. As babies, we are magnets for that same unconditional divine love from all the people around us. It's not just the cute factor. It's the utter dependence on love from those around us. We aren't embarrassed by receiving love as babies. We are incapable of embarrassment. We drink up the love around us because it's the only option we have. When we grow, when we become more independent, we have a habit of forgetting or refusing our dependence on love from both fellow humans and God. We seem to think dependence on love and growth into adulthood are incompatible. But I think what made Jesus unique, as much as he was unique, was that he still embraced in every fiber of his being, just like that tiny baby, that he was not only dependent on love, but inseparable from love. He knew that baptism wasn't just an event, though he had a pretty good baptism. Baptism was a moment of connection with the divine that he was always trying to live in. How would your life be different if you embraced that dependence on God's love that inseparability from God's love as your birthright. How would my life be different? How would our city, how would our geopolitical landscape be different if our leaders understood themselves as dependent on and inseparable from love? Imagine if we all thought of ourselves as living prayers, as Alison Krauss sings, as living embodiments of that relationship to God's love. Holy One, teach us like that sweet soul in the NICU in Brooklyn, and like Jesus, to know that we too are always being held by a divine love that strengthens our vital signs. And we too are always being blessed by your baptismal waters of love and tears. Give us the strength you gave Jesus to turn the world around, to turn it upside down, by living like the people in that holy NICU. Our hearts broken open, our whole existence dedicated to the purpose of raising and sustaining new life, and our every action coming from profound love for the sake of the most vulnerable among us. May it be so. Amen.